First Baptist Church of Redmond, December 6th, 2020. Guest speaker, Patrick Nouri. A Christmas reminder.
Please rise and join me in reading Philippians 3:20-21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. You may be seated.
So it kind of is that time, isn't it? Well, I wanted to share some things with you this morning that I think will or should help us remember at least some of the gifts that Christ has given us in because of Christmas. And it's really all about the birth of the Savior, isn't it? And the tied up in our salvation, of course, is all kinds of gifts that come with that. I don't know if you've ever sat down and itemized those, just the amazing gifts that we've been given. And I'm going to talk about one this morning. You know, Christmas, when I grew up, I have very fond memories. We had a large family, and so, like usual family, Christmas is kind of a time of pandemonium, chaos and everything going on. And but the memories that I have of growing up were just very, very pleasant. And certainly that's what sticks with me. But for me, Christmas was all about getting and giving, just as Jesus did, right? I mean, this is what Christmas, at least I was taught. And one of the most valuable things that Jesus gave to those who believe in him is found in Philippians, and I'll read the whole passage from what we read this morning. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. And there's a couple of very interesting things from this passage. I mean, you could take 3, 4, 5 weeks just on this passage alone, but a couple of things I wanted to bring up were two. First of all, he talks about joining and following my example. That is the example of one of the apostles that Christ left, that gave to us through Paul. Observe those who walk according to the pattern. That's the first thing I wanted you to know of the pattern. It's the Greek word tupos, and it's from the word we get type. A type, a model of the reality. Now that's a pretty big order. Paul says, join in following my example, observe, walk according to the pattern that you have in us. Walk according to that pattern, walk according to the type. We exemplify the reality of the Christian life. Now, today in our culture, of course, it's hard to find something or someone who will outline things as they really should be, absolutes and so on. That's really pretty difficult to find. But when we're talking about being a Christian, is this kind of this nebulous thing out there that whatever you want to dream up is okay so long as it's not immoral, you know, that kind of a thing. Is that okay to do? And here we're given a distinction, the pattern. that Paul left us. That was his life after he became a believer. His life was devoted to leaving a pattern to follow. And that's a big deal for us, because our citizenship, it says, is in heaven, from which we eagerly await for a Savior. So that's very critical, that we have a pattern to know what to follow, what to do, what to think, and how to fashion our own values. What does that mean? The second word in this passage that's very important to see, and this is the gift, is citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. That is an amazing gift. I know, growing up as an American, I've always valued my citizenship as an American, but if I think that's a neat thing, having a citizenship in heaven, boy, I'll tell you that, if you think about that for very often, that's a neat, neat gift. The word citizenship here is the word, this may surprise you, from which we get politics. In fact, it's the transliteration of the word. So this is the word we get politics from. So our politics is in heaven. Yeah, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior. King James translates it this way, our conversation or our manner of life is in heaven, our conversation or way of life. When I grew up, in the state of Montana, and we had all kinds of opportunities to explore the nature around us. I mean, the state at that time only had 700,000 people, and it was the fourth largest state in the country. 700,000. There was a state where there are more cattle than people. You know, it was a huge state. But because of that, there were lots and lots of areas to explore. In fact, there were areas that I could have taken you to back then where you could get lost and nobody would ever find you. I mean, this is how vast it was. But one of the organizations I was involved in growing up in Montana, and again, I have a lot of very fond memories of it, and that is the Boy Scouts. I know today there's not a whole lot of positive things. The organization is really in a lot of upheaval, but it's not the same organization I grew up with. I had very fond memories. Really, no negative memories at all of this time. And but on the way to the highest award in Boy Scouts, which was Eagle, you had to earn merit badges and be involved in a few other things. Two of the badges that you had to earn in order to qualify as an Eagle Scout, you couldn't just pick and choose. There were all kinds of merit badges. I think you had to have what? But 29 at that time. I don't know. Things have changed a lot since then. But two of them you had to have were these: citizenship in the community and citizenship in the nation. Those were two merit badges you had to have. Now, those two merit badges, you can tell by the badge themselves. Again, I don't know what they look like today, but they look the same. Yeah, they look the same. You can tell citizenship in the community, a very prominent part of belonging to the community is belonging to a church. Now, if you think outside the box here a little bit, the idea of church, regardless of what denomination it was, played a huge part. And in our early days of our country, in order for you to be involved in any kind of government, this was a long time ago now, you had to subscribe to a few Christian principles. That is true. If you go back and you look at the charters of the colonies, in order to be involved in the government, there were some principles right out of the scripture that you had to agree with. And, of course, that's all been changed since then, but this reminds me a lot of it. Citizenship in the community And then citizenship in the nation, you can see that there they have the picture, if you've not been taught this, it's the picture of the Liberty Bell. What's interesting is that on the Liberty Bell, very few people know this, is written a passage from Leviticus. And it's proclaimed freedom throughout all the land. I thought that was very, very interesting. And what I find to be fascinating is that as I studied things within citizenship in the community, citizenship in the nation, one of the things that I learned about Benjamin Franklin, and I've compiled a whole lot of stuff through the years about the guy, he was really quite an enigma. He wasn't sure what he thought about the deity of Christ, but his suggestion for the national symbol of America was of the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his army being drowned behind in the Red Sea. And the slogan of the original that he proposed was death to tyrants. Now that's kind of some of the beginnings in our nation. But what I learned with these two merit badges was, you know, what it meant to belong to my community and my nation. I learned about how our government works, about its laws, about its history, and about its values. Now, you'd say, well, what about your schooling? You know, I didn't really remember that much at all. The only thing I remember about schooling was in my senior year, the whole community took part. We lived at a time when the threat from Russian attack on our countries, of course, it loomed big in everybody's minds. And of course, the threat of nuclear war was significantly greater then. And we had across Montana, we had these what we call ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, that were kept in silos across the state. And there was other states too that had them. But what we did once a year, the entire community got together. This involved the mayor, it involved all the firemen, the police, and the scouts, and everybody else. And we got together, and we devoted one day to getting ready for this, what we thought was an inevitable attack. And so the idea was that the first thing the Russians would do is they would take out our ICBMs across the top part of the country. And what we had to do was to calculate how long it would take for radioactive fallout to get from northern Montana down to where we were. And so we had, you know, we had a meteorologist involved. We had, we just had a lot of people were involved. And this one full day, the whole community took part in it. And then we had to go around to all the facilities. Some of you might remember these facilities were marked with a big CD, metal signs, huh? Civil defense, yes. And these were places that you would go in the event of an attack. And they were, many of them were stocked with all kinds of foods and things like this. And one of our jobs was to go around checking each one of the civil defense places to make sure there were plenty of food items and so on. We also would coordinate with various groups in the community. And then there was somebody who took charge of introducing obstacles. And so we'd get these bulletins, you know, this has happened here, this has happened here, and now we have to adjust for this and adjust for that. And that is probably the main thing I remember from my high school experience was that everybody was involved in it. And that left a huge impression on me for citizenship in the community. There's no doubt about that. The nation was a little bit more detached, but one thing I was very familiar with, I learned in Boy Scouts, was probably really the place that I learned it the best, was the origin of our country, the origin of our style of government, and how to be involved in it, and the values. Now, we were all aware that there were values that were personal to each family, to each church. We were well aware of that. But there were overriding values, too, that belonged to our nation. And we were very much aware of those. And so these two merit badges really did have an impact on my life, my thinking, and taught me a lot about what it meant to be a citizen. Now, the word citizen, if we think about it, is, you know, the Greek word is the word we get politics from. It's involvement in the life and governance of my community and my country. This is exactly what we were doing. We took the time and the effort to learn about its origin, about its history, about its governmental style, about the laws, about the values. We took that time to learn that. And then we were involved. Sometimes it was helping others who had bigger parts to play, bigger roles to play. But we were all united in an effort to carry on this great, some have called it the great experiment. And we learned that. And it's I miss it. I miss it a great deal. But that's essentially what politics is. It's involvement in the life and governance of my community and my country. Today, politics is really, it's activism is what it is. It's much more of a burn it down or burn it to the ground type thing. It's not learning about where we came from and about the values that we share and so on. It's totally different today. And I think it's something that could influence us even as believers as we think about what it means to be a citizen of heaven. What does that mean to be a citizen of heaven? And how much of that is getting eroded by things that we let influence that in our lives, cultural adjustments or cultural changes. Things. How much of that is really influencing the way we think about our citizenship in heaven? And this is ubiquitous. It goes across the gamut here. It doesn't matter whether you're from China or whether you're from India, whether you're from the United States, it doesn't matter. Citizenship of heaven, we share a common bond. We share some common values. We share some common beliefs. And that's what I thought too when we first were involved in those merit badges. That's what it taught us, were things that we shared. And those, of course, are getting changed today. The thing we have to really be on guard of is our citizenship in heaven. Likewise, too, growing up, I had very fond memories of being involved in eating together. We did share a time. Now, it was, I mean, this is a big family. And again, it was pandemonium. Sometimes it was, you know, that hitting your little brother underneath the table when he... when he aggravated, you know, these kinds of things, and Mom and Dad would get involved. I was always told that Dad placed me on his right, sitting on his right, and then there was another brother he placed on his left, and he would tell us that he wanted us there because he could reach us much easier. And so it was... You know, but the one thing he always made us realize is that there were two things that you didn't talk about at the table, and that was politics and religion. And I'm sure some of you can remember these two things really do bring out a lot of emotional reactions. And I think we have to ask the question, why is that? Why do they do that? And if we go back, I think we can get a little bit of a clue, because we do experience it as Christians. Why is there such a violent reaction to people who want to practice their faith in our culture today and who want to do certain things? It's almost like it's a hated thing. And I think it's bound up in these two words, and that it'll tie in, I think, to helping us understand citizenship in heaven. But the first one is the pattern. Again, the pattern deals with the values, the teaching, the things that we share that we have learned through the apostles. Jesus taught them, imparted them to the apostles. They were recorded. We get them in the scripture. The pattern you have, and then our citizenship. And that citizenship is not just a banner we hang over our house. There are some things associated with being a citizen of heaven that I think are common to us all. So what are we talking about with these two concepts? We're really talking about the idea of worldview. It's a very important word. But that's really what we're talking about. Worldview is really my particular ideas of life, my conception of the world. All of us have one. You may not be able to articulate it. You may not be able to write down all the points it includes. But you do have a worldview. And I often tell people, let me just study you for about a half hour. Watch you interact, watch you do things, watch what you say. I can tell you what your worldview is. It's quite uncanny. Because we do have built in us, and we've gotten the influence from all different kinds of sources. Our goal as a Christian, obviously, is to narrow those sources down to where we're really confident that these come from Christ. They're things that we all share as believers. But the worldview is really the opinions and the ideas about values, beliefs, and morals. And so there can be a lot of almost violent reaction, and people attribute it to politics or to this or to that. But essentially what we're talking about in all politics is clashing worldviews. That's why we have the reactions we do. It's not because of one organization has these things and one set of politics has this, or I like the way they do this, or no, it gets down to clashing worldviews. And so let me share with you a little bit. This was quite an experience I had. A few years ago, I had an experience with a couple from Germany. Some of you know that I give geology tours in Yellowstone Park every year and take groups of families in and help them understand the geology of Yellowstone from a biblical perspective. And one year I had the opportunity, it was kind of special too, I'd never done this before, but we got a call from a couple from Germany. They were coming over, they had one day to go through Yellowstone. They wanted me to take them through Yellowstone. They'd never seen it before. And so I met up with them. Vicky followed us in the van, and I rode with the couple. And the husband was an atheist. The woman was a believer. I'm not sure how that got together, but it's a strange combination. But the husband definitely was an atheist. And we went about through driving through the park. We were looking at different things, and I would explain things to him. And he was very silent, didn't say anything. She was just real talkative. And then about halfway through the trip, he said one question to me, one thing he said on the entire trip. And that was this. He said, I have a question for you. I thought, oh, this should be real interesting. I got a question. And here was his question. I thought, the first thing I thought of was, this was strange. And then I thought, you know, he's been exposed to something about our country. And here was his question. Why do I think it is important for our country to be influenced by Christianity? He explained that he heard this a lot, that there were seemed to be these groups of, you know, political, it was all politics, and these wanted to govern this way. And then there seemed to be this general group over here that was very concerned about the influence of Christianity on our country. And the more I thought about that, I thought, you know, that's a very good question. And the fact that he would notice that. And he wasn't asking it antagonistically. He was genuinely concerned and interested in the answer to that. And so I thought for just a minute or two, and then it hit me right away. Well, here's why. Because one's worldview shapes everything, including one's politics. Now, they may not say, here's my bona fides worldview, and here's my politics, and see how the two go together. They usually don't say anything, except if you've got a pretty defined worldview, then you can. It's the connection is obvious, why you did this, why you did this, why you voted this way, and so on. But it's not very clear to a lot of people, but you can't escape it. Worldview, your worldview does shape everything. And that's not a bad thing. The thing that I want to focus on is how to make it sharper, how to make it so there's real reality to it, how to make it so that what I believe and think and value really does affect the way I conduct myself. That, to me, is the chore we have as Christians. That's the toughie right there. Very difficult. In Philippians 1:27, we're told this, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. King James translates it this way, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Well, sure enough, there's the same exact word, your citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's exactly the word that's used here. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. It's our citizenship or heavenly worldview. Another way to say this passage would be this way. Let your heavenly citizenship, the things of a true Christian worldview, this is my wording here, be worthy of the gospel of Christ. But it's the same exact word that's used where it says our citizenship is in heaven. We're talking about a worldview, having a well-defined and a well-developed worldview such that it shapes the way you communicate, it shapes the way you think, it shapes the way you talk to people, how you communicate. And so I want to leave you with a question here, and that is this. Do I know what it means to be a citizen of heaven? Do I regularly think about it? You really have to, because it's easy to lose it. I think the word remember is a word that's repeated often in the Old Testament. Peter says of both his letters, you know, it's no problem for me to write the same things to you. It's easy for you to forget, is what he's getting across. I want to stir up your remembrance, this kind of thing. And so here are some questions. If you want to write these down, you can, but these are good just to think about. I like to try to think about these. Sometimes I'll spend more on one than the other each day. But it helps me just keep my worldview sharp and focused. And here's one of them. Do I understand my origin, that I was created by God? Many believers don't think this is a critical issue. Well, it is a critical issue. It's a part of your worldview. If you don't think it matters how you got here, that's going to affect what you say or how you think. Do I understand my origin, that I was created by God? Being created by God is really it's the origin of the idea of accountability and conscience. All of this comes from that. Second question, do I understand my purpose, that I was created for God and not for myself? That's critical, isn't it? Because once you understand that you were created for God, that begins to govern your selfishness, doesn't it? If you've been created for God, there's going to be a lot of things you're going to curtail. But having that as part of your worldview. A third one, do I understand my citizenship in Christ? And that has to do with values. Do I understand God's values, such they're becoming my own? Now, we're not talking about getting to a point where you never do anything wrong again. That's not the goal. The goal is nurturing our faith and our growth in Christ. That's what we're doing, and developing our worldview so that it's sharper, so we can articulate the things of God much better, especially with the lost world around us. My goodness, it's just rapidly changing. And our mission, our goal is not changed with it, at least it shouldn't, but we need to figure out how to do a better job of communicating. So do I understand my citizenship, values of God, and do I understand my contribution? We don't have all of the spiritual necessities to build things together with people. We have the Spirit, but the Spirit wants to use everybody, and He's gifted each person differently. Do I understand how I fit into that? That's awfully important. Several years ago, I realized that I was becoming a jack of all trades and therefore a master of none. And it was in my Christian life, I was becoming a jack of all trades. I thought, you know, this is nuts. I really got to specialize here. So what is it that God really wants to do with me? How does He want to work with me? How does He want to work through me? And started making some decisions and explorations and getting to a point where that's getting pretty well defined at this point. It doesn't mean that that's the only thing that matters. It means we're talking about me at this point. And so do I understand my contribution, how I am to serve others through God's power? I'm here for more than serving myself. I'm here to serve others. And final one, do I understand my mission or my ministry? Each one of us has one. The word ministry is very interesting. We've treated it more and more in our culture like a professional career. When actually the word ministry just means to serve, means service. And so as I think about ministry, it just means, how am I going to serve God's interests? God definitely has some interests and some very narrow interests. And the more I can figure that out and align myself to it, then I think my citizenship, my heavenly citizenship, can certainly be much more focused. So I guess those are the questions I wanted to leave with you. But here's what it's going to take on the part of each one of us. Do I spend the energy and the time to understand the citizenship that Jesus gave me? I have asked this question of a lot of people through the years, and it has to do with this. How many of you get a regular daily time of uninterrupted, call it study, if you will, where you're thinking about the scripture each day? You don't have to answer me that, but it certainly has been a big part of the guide of my life. I think you can talk to my wife about that. I've interrupted her sleep more than once. And we've been married now 40 years, so. But it's been, except for the times when I was flat out sick, it's been a daily part of my life. It doesn't mean you're sitting down and spending hours, but a little bit of time each day where you're concentrated, you're concentrating your thinking, your emotions, your mindset on what the scriptures are saying. It's going to take that, by the way, especially in the culture we live in today. I don't know if you've ever sat down and just monitored, and it could be on the computer most of the day. But if you're in front of the TV and just think about the images that are getting flashed and the statements that are getting flashed toward you and the concepts that are getting flashed, you're getting inundated. And whether we want to realize it or not, those do have an effect on the way we think. And so I think it's good to take some time each day and to just get focused on what God is saying in His Scripture. Let Him have the opportunity to teach you. One of the life verses for me along these lines has been the example of Ezra in the Old Testament. Ezra was a priest. He had the obligation to teach Israel God's ways, His word, and so on. And as they came back from captivity, they were part of the Israel brought back after Babylon. And it says this about Ezra. Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to practice it, and to teach it in Israel. Isn't that that's really a neat little formula, isn't it? To study the Word of God, to practice it, and to teach it. And that is really how we develop this worldview of citizenship in heaven. If we're not doing that, I'm not sure we're going to develop the right kind of worldview we need to. It's not just embracing doctrine, but it's letting it begin to control and move my life. And that's what we're talking about. My understanding of the Christian citizenship I have been given depends on how much I let the Scripture influence my worldview. It won't change my position. My position has been earned by Christ. He paid the price to make me a citizen of heaven. But my understanding of what that really means really does depend on how much I let the Scripture influence my worldview. So I wanted to leave that with you today. It's a wonderful gift that Christ has given us, citizenship in heaven.